express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music you heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, please give Walt a call, 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President, Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and is part of the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Our shows are carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., and you can hear them at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Our entire show archive can be heard at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And make sure to like us on our Facebook page, Art on the Air, WVLP. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air and, of course, the WVLP station, we'd be happy to become part of the WVLP family anytime. Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there or at wvlp.org/support. So don't just be a WVLP and Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air and the whole WVLP family. Join the WVLP family today. And an Art on the Air program note. Due to the COVID-19, WVLP shut down doing in-studio shows on March 26th. However, Art on the Air has continued to provide great content by first featuring a couple of encore episodes, and then in April, adding telephone interview capability using our home studio. We are now pre-recording all new shows, so we are able to schedule guests at their convenience, and we plan on doing pre-recorded shows in the future, even after COVID-19 issue has passed. In April, we featured 3-hour-long COVID-19 specials about the impact of the pandemic on artists, and you can still hear that on our website at breck.com/AOTA. We've also reformatted Art on the Air, replacing the reading of a list of arts events with a 6-minute spotlight segment featuring local art and music events that is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio 3 times on Wednesdays. Our long-form interview format now usually features 2 guests and has been expanded to include national and international guests. We added Zoom interview capability in July 2020, greatly improving our guest audio. And we may even do Zoom video as an option in the future. Thank you for your continued support of Art on the Air. And a very special announcement, Art on the Air has been nominated for the 15th Annual Podcast Award in the Arts category. If you'd like to vote for Art on the Air, please go to podcastawards.com, that's podcastawards.com, to register and vote for our show. We really would appreciate your support. And this Art on the Air spotlight is with Nelson Velquez from M Productions, the company founded to help push to do-yourself productions in Northwest Indiana region, and it's a place for people to do that. Nelson, welcome to Art on the Air spotlight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Hello.
So we'd like you just first of all to tell us about the origin of M Productions and your involvement in it, and maybe a little bit about your background, and then, of course, what you're doing.
Sure. In Productions LLC has been around for about 3 years in the Northwest Indiana area. We started in Crown Point, and we are a collective of actors, producers, directors that delve in the art of improvisational comedy, sketch comedy, and stand-up, as well as original scripted work. So we use improv as our base for everything that we create. We got our start actually a little bit before that through the Crown Point Community Theater that was around until 2017. And then when that went under, we went ahead and broke off and made our own collective and have been going strong ever since.
So tell us a little bit about your background in improv.
Yeah, so I've been improvising since 2005. I am an old school person, old school meaning more than 10 years, because it's in Chicago, it's kind of a young man sport or young person sport. So I've been around since 2015. I started over at the Second City in Chicago and took my level A through E classes, my very beginning, and then ended up living there for like 3.5 years, taking every class I could consume. And eventually started branching out and doing my own independent things. As part of a Latino theater company called Salsation, moved on to a musical improv group, ended up going to teaching and then touring all over the US, doing festivals and doing a lot of classes and a lot of workshops. And being able to do all that work had then culminated to coming back to moving here in 2011 and then using that to kind of as a springboard to being able to teach and perform here.
So comedy is so important right now. I'm finding that I am completely gravitating to just watching all kinds of comedy. I'm so happy you're here. So when people take your class, because are you doing online classes?
So yeah, we've moved everything that we're doing now online. So all shows, performances, classes, workshops, those are all online.
So do you have any like tried and true techniques for creating a path for someone who's kind of quiet and finds it hard to express themselves? So would this format be very good for them?
Absolutely. Those of you who are out there that are a little shy and get a little overwhelmed with not being extroverted, like you see many of those people on Who's Line anyway, this is the perfect thing. This being online is fantastic because it allows you to be in the comfort of your own home, and it allows you to effectively, you are just a window on a screen in a Zoom or a Google Meet or something like that. You're just a square. I have found that most people who are introverted love this format because it doesn't require you to put out too much more than just putting your face on a screen for a few hours. And then as they get more and more comfortable with the concepts, they learn how to branch out and how to connect through the camera. Hopefully that will then translate to whenever they get into the real world and they're able to connect with people much more quickly.
Tell us a little bit about where we can see you online and also how they can get in touch with you about classes and things like that.
Sure. You can catch a weekly show. We have a weekly show on Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central. It's called The Grid because it's named after what we see when we go on Zoom. And we broadcast that on our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitch channel, In Productions LLC, if you just look for that. And you can watch the show. It's every week. It's about an hour long. Sometimes we have guests from all over the world joining us to play along with some of our veterans that are in the community at this point. So if you go to Facebook and go to In Productions LLC, or you can just go to our website, inproductionsllc.com. You can check that out. We do have classes there as well. Improv Fundamentals is our most famous and popular class, so they can take that if you want to dip your toe in there. And there are also opportunities on the website that they can look at if you want to get involved, maybe not directly in improv, but maybe you want to try something. We do have shows that we do audition for as well.
How much are our classes? Do you actually have fees for the classes when they sign up?
So the classes range anywhere between $150 to $160, but we also provide people, right now it's so hard for people to have employment. So we are very flexible. If there's a reason why you can't necessarily swing that, but you're really passionate about doing improvisation, we urge you, please reach out to us through our Facebook page and get a hold of us. We are very, very flexible with our payment plans at this point.
Where have you actually performed live when we're back to normal?
Oh, wow. Where haven't I? I'll just give states and cities. I've been all over Chicago, obviously, all over Crown Point. I've been to Washington. I've been to places in California, Florida. I haven't yet gone to Canada and Mexico. Those are 2021 goals.
That was Nelson Vaquez from M Productions LLC, and you can find them on Facebook and online. Nelson, thank you for being on Art on the Air Spotlight.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And now next on Art in the Air, we have Laura Force Scruggs. She's a published and produced commissioned playwright. She's been produced by Three Cat Productions, Three Brothers, Unity Players, a whole wide variety of groups in Chicagoland. And her current play is called Punk Grandpa that was supposed to air, but of course the pandemic shut it down, and that's unfortunate, but here she is. Laura Force Scruggs, welcome to Art on the Air.
Hello.
We are so glad to have you. Well, you know what we want you to do is, and you are familiar with the format of the show, which is much easier. We want to hear a little bit about your journey from how you got to where you were, like where you grew up, school and everything, to where you are now. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a writer now, and I started doing this when I was very young. I wanted to have a library in my room of books that I wrote. My mom was a librarian, so she gave me, like, you know, when they had the old pockets and the cards to check out books. And we put on plays in our neighborhood. I was doing adaptations then, you know, like the Cabbage Patch Kids and Little House on the Prairie and the Smurfs. We had big rocks on the edge of the porch because we thought they looked like footlights. And so I was in a lot of theater growing up. My first play was called Clarence the Carrot. It was at church, and I was a green bean.
Ooh. So did anybody take any video of any of these? Like, did your parents take any, like, Super 8s?
I wish. I think we simply have pictures.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, of the green bean. Yeah. And then, yeah, I was in plays throughout my life. I was Wendy in Peter Pan, probably my favorite. That's one of my favorite things. I was a third witch in Macbeth in college, as well as the young fool in Big River about Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. Usually that part is played by a male, but my director said I surpassed his expectations for the role when I jumped off the stage and hugged him when I was reading opposite him as Aunt Sally, and she hadn't seen Tom Sawyer for a long time. And so to hug him, I jumped off the stage as he was in the audience reading opposite me. So, yes. And then I really wasn't writing, but a friend of mine asked me to collaborate with her on her play, Meet Me on the Ceiling, about a young misfit named Onoff. His name is a combination of two German prepositions, on and off, and A-U-F, and with Mrs. Swack, as in Sealed with a Kiss. She was a merry, quirky old lady who took him in and helped him to find himself. And he's being bullied, and she helps him to be himself. And with her peace pole and her fairy house and all of her magic. So I started writing as an adult. And then I had to write about my favorite person of my life, my grandpa. And that's when I wrote Punk Grandpa back in 2012. Is when I started writing it, and then performed it at the Chicago Fringe Festival in 2013 for the first time.
So tell us a little bit about your education background. So you have a...
Oh, yes. Okay, so I have my BS in elementary education and my junior high middle school theater endorsement, as well as an MA in communication, media, and theater.
Okay, and where'd you get those from?
Okay, so my BS was from Taylor University in Indiana, Upland, as high as it gets in Indiana. And then the MA was from Northeastern Illinois University here in Chicago.
Okay. And where did you grow up? I mean, you're kind of that. We want to get that background, too.
Thank you for asking. Yes. So I was born in Greenville, Illinois, where my parents met in college. My dad proposed to my mom at a place called the Union Cemetery. They didn't even know at the time. Okay. Then at the age of 4, moved to Springfield, Illinois. And then in the middle of 5th grade, moved to Normal, Illinois. So that's my, I consider that my hometown. I lived there more than anywhere else before Chicago.
And you're in Chicago now.
Yes, since November of 98, when I came here and I got my first job out of college as a drama instructor with the Chicago Park District.
What did you do with the Chicago Park District?
So I got to teach ages ranging from 18 months up to senior citizens. It was an extremely unique opportunity. Started out part-time, 30 hours a week. But after that, I was at three different parks once I turned full-time. And so I would have things like Moms, Pops, and Tots. I would have toddler theater games, after-school kids, teen club. I directed the adults in many plays, many classics like You Can't Take It With You and It's a Wonderful Life, those kinds of things, Eric Capra. Okay, yes.
Oh, no. Yeah, the park district is really a treasure, and I don't think, I'm sure now it's really publicized, but even when I was growing up, they offered the most unique programming. That was so fortunate that you got in on that. What a great experience.
Yeah, and the senior citizens, I got to go to a nursing home nearby and play piano and lead sing-alongs and exercises and just hang out with them. I was giving piano lessons to a member there.
And so when did you start making connections in the community you're in now? Like, how did you make that connection with Three Cats? I mean, how did you, what was your next step to, get to where you are now? I mean,
Three Cat, I heard about the solo festival and I came to see that. And then some of my playwright friends at Chicago Dramatists, where I was a network playwright, encouraged me to apply because Three Cat Productions in Chicago does all new work. No Oklahoma, nothing you've ever heard of.
Wow.
So that's how I got involved. And then since then, they have graciously, generously produced me several times. Since I did Pump Grandpa as a solo show there. And then I got to be part of their holiday show a couple times, did a couple adaptations. One by L. Frank Baum, A Kidnapped Santa Claus. And then also A Fairy Christmas. These are just like short 10-minute plays. They'll have several 10-minute plays interspersed with holiday music. And then my play Magic of Lady M was part of their new work festival as a reading. And I was commissioned to write by Three Brothers. And then...
That one's so interesting because that's all about Lady Macbeth. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Set in the context of the American government with the idea of a woman being president... A bisexual king used to be with Duncan, but then with her, Duncan used to be, I don't know what we're allowed to say on the air here, so maybe I should.
Well, you know what, let me talk about a mutual friend of ours and the documentary that you did, Uncle Fun, You're the One.
Yes.
So when did that, so where is that in the timeline of working with Three Cats? Is that prior to or?
Right, almost in the middle.
Ah.
Because that was in January of 2014 when Uncle Fun closed. And I'd met, up with Three Cat around 2012 or so. So, yeah.
He's a great, I love Ted so much. He's just been such a big part of my life since, 1981, maybe. So.
Yes, my hero.
Yeah.
The most non-judgmental people you'll ever meet. And he says, when he gets angry, it's not often, but when he does, he enjoys the visit and then says, hi, he's the cutest, most charming.
That was such a big surprise for you. I mean, here you just did this thing to honor him, but it's really gotten quite big and has traveled around the world, hasn't it? I mean,
thank you. Yes. I just did it because I had to, because it was my favorite place in Chicago. Yeah. It's a novelty toy store. Many Chicagoans knew it. Uncle Fun.
I was going to ask, the plays that you've written are, can they be found in terms of being published? Is there a publisher that you've used?
Yes. So Punk Grandpa was originally published by Chicago Drama Works before they unfortunately shut down. Today, very recently, the multiple character version has been published by, it's called PlayScripts Online. They're out of the UK. And so you can find that script at playscripts.online/shop slash punk dash grandpa. So that's where you can buy the script, and it's also licensed if you want to produce it.
I know my wife used PlayScripts, and she was directing a lot of middle school productions, and they have a lot of good resources. Yeah, PlayScripts is a really nice resource for a lot of plays and everything. Who inspired you, I guess, and what theater kind of spoke to you, and, you know, different people you, like, the ideal person you'd like to work with, maybe, in theater?
Well, I'd say Lily Taylor is one, definitely one of my favorite actresses. Bernadette Peters, I've always admired.
I adore her so much.
Yes. With her musical song and dance, I was early on inspired by. Yes, someone like Nora Ephron. I always love romantic comedies.
Nora's wonderful. Yeah, the stuff she's done.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy, and I love romantic comedies.
Yes. And I grew up loving the play Annie.
The play or the musical?
Oh, both. Good question.
Yeah, I remember the first time they were running Annie on national tour, and the one thing I criticized about it is they kept repeating the title song throughout it, and it got to be like, oh, they revised that later, but it got to be like, okay, she's going to sing The Sun's Going to Come Out Tomorrow again. And and I think that in the national tour, they said, okay, we're going to pull it out a few more times because it's getting a little bit redundant. So, what kind of movie would you make if it was about you? Like if someone came to you and say, you know, let's make a movie about you. What kind of movie would they make?
Well, I would say I would have to be a fairy during a large portion of the movie. Fairies are free to be themselves, and there are only degrees of play in their lives. Nothing is work. So I tried it. I aspire to take delight in everything, as Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy says, another one of my heroes. Of color.
Do you have a favorite musical?
Oh, maybe Guys and Dolls. Definitely one of my favorites, a classic. Of course, Presently Hamilton is phenomenal. I always loved Urinetown as well. And Singing in the Rain. Oh. Yeah, there are a lot.
One story I always like to tell about that Gene Kelly told about Singing in the Rain, when they were doing that sequence, they were set up. He was actually running a high fever, and they'd all have the water trucks all set up and everything. And so, you know, and they do multiple shots. They do what's called a master shot. But anyway, he went and did that while he had I forget, it was 103 fever, but they had it all set up to go. And he says, you know, I'll go. And he did that whole thing and the retakes, the close-ups and everything for the entire sequence. So for several hours. So,
wow.
Yeah, amazing.
Huh. He's amazing.
So, what's your big guilty pleasure?
Well, let's see. I mean, I guilty pleasure. Try not to take guilt in my pleasures so I can enjoy them.
Well, I saw in your bio what you said is burlesque, as long as it tells a story and Hitchcock.
Yes, I love a good burlesque, not just about removing clothing, but telling a story. Right. I once saw an Alfred Hitchcock birds-themed burlesque. She had a hoop with birds all around her. I love Michelle L'Amour. Yes, I am a big burlesque fan.
Well, your traditional burlesque was not just the strip show, which it became.
Right.
It was the cooch dance and that everything was actually just a portion of it. It was a little bit more bawdy humor, but it was actually like a step below vaudeville in terms of its class, but it introduced a lot to the theater format and everything. So, you know, the original burlesque was a little different thing. They had three wheels in the United States, and you go play the wheels just like vaudeville had two major wheels. But they used to do bawdy humor, like, for example, the farmer's daughter. And so the farmer's daughter would go behind the thing, and then these guys would go about there. And you wouldn't see anything, but then they came out like they had just been satisfied. That was burlesque. It was much more bawdy humor. But, became – unfortunately, that term became in the, like, 1920s and 30s just a pure strip show and no class to it whatsoever. So,
but now
– now it's back, the original burlesque.
And – we've got all different shapes and sizes
right.
embraced. That's one of the things I like the best.
Well, that was sort of the beginning, too, though.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
going back to the harking to the beginning. So I've seen you in performance. So what have you done to, and you use your whole body and you use your costuming and everything in your performance. So what auxiliary things? I know that I've always wanted to take the circus classes in Chicago doing the, you know, it's always been, I'm so excited that they offer trapeze. Have you done any of those? Any clowning classes? Any circuit classes?
I did do a European clown class years ago at the Inside Out Art Studio. But it's been a while. But I did want to be in the, I mean, I still would love to be in the circus. It's been one of my, I've seen Cirque du Soleil, and I was taken to Barton and Bailey as a child. So I always loved that. It's happening right now in front of you. The elephants could topple, but they don't, you know, and fire, eating fire and all of those.
And sparkly tights. I mean, I always notice the costuming, you know, but then that's what I went in, you know.
I love this.
And I noticed that with you too, because you're, the way you express yourself with your clothing is just so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. That's a lot coming from you. I know you know a lot about fashion. You're always posting really unique expressions of fashion.
That's quite a great art form, and it doesn't necessarily always get jumped in with the arts, but it certainly is a form of art.
Well, one thing I'd like to hear about is, give us the background about Punk Grandpa, obviously the inspiration. We touched on it a little bit, but tell us about that. And I guess you have an excerpt that you want to read for us from the thing, but tell us a little bit about Punk Grandpa.
Yes. Hey. So I was the oldest grandkid in my family, and I was very close to my grandpa. He was my favorite person because he really didn't care what anybody thought, and he would just do whatever he wanted. He was himself. And that spoke volumes to me because I was an extremely serious child, as you'll see from my excerpt. And so he set me free to be myself and to know for the first time, you don't have to follow the rules all the time. And everyone was his friend, and he could make anything fun.
One thing I read in the your information is he liked to communicate through spies. What's that about?
Yes! It is here with hearing aids. And I'll be reading a little bit about that today in the excerpt as well. Yes!
Well, why don't you go ahead and do that? Our audience would love to hear a little bit about that. You hear, this is a Punk Grandpa. And Laura, go ahead.
I'm sorry, God. I just can't do it anymore. It is 7 a.m. on a Monday before school. I am in kindergarten. It is December of 1981, and I live in Normal, Illinois. I am 5 3/4 years old. I'm doing my morning devotions, and I read the verse. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. King James Version. So I start making my bed. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. But God, how can I pray without ceasing forever? But I have to. It's in the Bible. I look down at my precious moments bedspread that says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Exactly. I know I can do this, and with joy. Pray without ceasing. But God, how can I pray without ceasing during school? And after school, during play practice? I was a green bean in a play at church called Clarence the Carrot. And while playing over at my friend Elizabeth Rose's house tonight, there were elves that played hockey with the ice cubes in her freezer. If I were praying without ceasing, every time someone opened the freezer door, we pounded. The morning before, while waiting for church to begin, I was holding my offering money in my right hand very tightly because I was nervous that I was going to lose it. But it got really hot, so I switched it to my left hand. It was then that I realized, too late, that I broke the Bible. I had sinned because of that verse. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I was a very serious child. I had to get all A's in school, be top quizzer in junior Bible quizzing, be early for everything, be a good steward of my time, money, and talents for Missionettes, Christian Girl Scouts, obey all grown-ups, and every time I saw a swimming pool, I had to swim the entire length of it underwater, both ways. It took a lot of work. I was exhausted. I might have been serious forever and started gathering animals for the ark if it weren't for my outrageous, unforgettable, wildly inappropriate punk grandpa. When I say that my grandpa was a punk, I don't mean that he was a punk rocker. I mean that he was mischievous and that he saw every part of life as an opportunity for his amusement. And he wanted me to loosen up and be more like him. So he called all of his grandchildren grandpunks. I had recently watched the movie The Wizard of Oz for the first time. Grandpa was a real wizard to me, not just some man hiding behind a curtain, because being a punk, he wasn't afraid of anybody or anything and did whatever he wanted. This one's for you, Grandpa. I am 5 3/4 years old. I think it's going to be a magical day because I am at my Grandma and Grandpa Pullman's house in Mount Prospect, Illinois. I'm there with my family, my mom, dad, brother Josh, and baby sister Katie, who looks like a little Shirley Temple. My mom is a strict librarian who wakes up in the mood to vacuum at 7 a.m. on a summer morning. And my dad is a CPA who safety pins his socks together in the wash. My brother, Josh, is a 4-year-old who makes fun of everything I do, always calling me Freak Show. You aren't just a freak in the freak show. You are the entire freak show. I love freak shows, but my brother didn't, and him calling me freak show hurt my feelings. I was not the favorite in my family. I just did not fit in. My Aunt Susan once asked me, "So, how did you manage to spring from the loins of those two? I think you are a changeling." What's a changeling? A changeling is a fairy child left in place of a stolen human child. I'm a fairy? My brother doesn't know that I'm a fairy. He wrote Laura is not allowed in the kids' bathroom on the kids' bathroom rules sign because I broke the soap a lot and no one else in the family did that. And when I brown hamburger meat, I think it starts to look like an old man's head. You know, because of those wiggly lines in the ground beef as they start to look gray as I brown them. So I feel like I'm chopping up an old man's head as I brown every side of the hamburger meat. No one else in my family thinks this. On that Saturday morning at breakfast in my grandma and grandpa's house, I was wearing my red reindeer pajamas with the feet in them, the kind that button up only in the back, and I was worried that my big butt might come bursting out of them any second. I was worried about lots of things. Let's pray. Grandpa prayed a lot. He loved to do it for all kinds of reasons, to find something that was lost, to pray for others, and to give thanks.
Thank you, Father, for the pancakes.
I looked down at my grandma's sparkly snowflake tablecloth and grabbed the Mrs. Butterworth syrup when no one is looking, except for Aunt Ernest Peppermint Stick kid figurine. Don't tell anyone. Put just a drop of syrup on my pancake because I was a chubby child. I tried to spread it out over the whole pancake, but I was shredding it. I hear, and then my grandpa says into his hearing aid,
"Bob Pullman here. How's the foreign situation? Oh, yes, FBI Agent Kevin. My granddaughter Laura is right here."
Grandpa hands me his hearing aid, and I looked at it, scared, wondering what the foreign situation was and what I must have done wrong this time. I remember the night before, my brother and I were screaming at each other, fighting over who should get to hold my baby sister, Katie. And then she started to cry. And then it was my dad. He had heard everything.
See, kids? Even a baby can sense sin.
Did the FBI somehow find out about that? I look at my family around the breakfast table and I carefully hold my grandpa's hearing aid. I was afraid of breaking it and just everything about the situation. I look at it for a moment, take a deep breath, and hold it to my ear. Hello? Agent Kevin? This is Laura Force. How can I help you? I listened and listened and I just hear some static.
Seems strange.
Freak show? You thought there was really an FBI agent?
Josh, too far.
I didn't do it! It was Mrs. Butterworth!
Josh, you are being too hard on your sister.
Grandpa was good at protecting me. So there's really no FBI agent talking to you through your hearing aid?
Laura, stop it. It's not real.
That was my mom.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, what do you think, Laura? Grandpa wanted to know what I thought. I don't know. Maybe the fairies are playing with him today. I love not knowing for sure if something is real or not.
Laura, calm down.
That was my dad.
I'm going to the twilight.
My grandpa meant he was going to the toilet, as he always liked to play with words, and he told us everything that he was doing, so we knew exactly where he was all of the time. On his return from the twilight,
it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
He danced a lot.
Doo-wah, doo-wah, doo-wah.
Bob, I hate scat singing and you know that. That's my grandma. So, my grandpa stuck out his prosthetic teeth at her. He only had 3 real teeth because when he was a kid, every time his mom sent him to the dentist, he took the money and went to the movies and bought lots of candy instead.
Oh, I like your new dress, Carol.
I've had it for 35 years, Bob, and I wear it all the time.
You have nice breasts, Carol.
I covered my brother's ears. He said breast. You aren't supposed to talk about private parts. You could get punished for that. It made me so nervous that I reached for the Mrs. Butterworth bottle and started pouring the syrup on as hard and as fast as I possibly could. My plate was overflowing with syrup, spilling onto my lap and onto the floor.
That'll put hair on your chest.
What?
That'll put hair on your chest.
What does that mean?
Means it'll make you a big, strong punk like me.
Oh, I wanted nothing more. I think that might be a good place to pause.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Okay, that was wonderful. That was Laura Force Scruggs and Punk Grandpa. Oh my gosh, what a very personalized story. And the whole version runs about how long?
45 minutes to an hour, depending on how much dance, music people want to incorporate into okay. the show.
Mm-hmm. So where does it go now?
So we go to church. You want me to do it, or I can tell you whatever you like.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and continue on.
With go ahead.
Yeah, just for a bit. Going to church. Let's have that real quick.
All right, here we go. After breakfast, we went to my grandma and grandpa's very conservative church for a special Saturday service. Upon entering the church's narthex, their word for lobby, I heard an adult say, "The liberals are not going to heaven." I didn't know what a liberal was, but it sounded kind of delicious, like ice cream or something. I wanted to meet the liberals and tell them everything was going to be okay. When I went to children's church, a teacher asked us, "Where does alcohol come from?" Nobody knew. Besides the fruit and wheat mixing together, the devil? Well, my grandma has a glass of red wine every night with dinner, and she told me it's good for her heart. And you believe her.
I wondered what was going on upstairs in Big Church. After the service, I saw Grandpa talking to all of these grown-ups that were bragging about our children's prestigious careers in science and technology and, of course, going into the ministry. And so my grandpa said, "Oh yeah, my kids are doing great too. My son John, he lives in New York. He drives a big car, runs his own business. He's a pimp. And my daughter, Amy, she's doing real well too. She works for him." Immediately the churchgoers decided it was time to go to Baker Square. "We will have to talk to Pastor about this. We're praying for you. Is he a real Christian? Nice doing business with you. And don't take any wooden nickels." I couldn't believe the judgmentalism at my grandma and grandpa's church. Now, not only did I marry a non-Christian, I married an atheist. Sometimes Grandpa and I just don't follow the rules. That was
interesting. Great. Thank Laura Force Scruggs and Punk Grandpa.
Punk Grandpa. So, Laura, we all know that the pandemic has changed the world. How has it personally affected what you're doing? I know you've had a documentary you're working on, and you're always working on something. So how has it changed the way you do things now?
Well, there have been many online opportunities. Uncle Fun was screened at 3 different online festivals during the pandemic. So there was Rat Fest, the Random Acts of Theater Festival here in Chicago, as well as a social distancing festival out of Canada created especially for those who had performances scheduled or screenings scheduled and canceled due to COVID, as there was going to be a new film festival at the Logan Square Theater, the Logan Theater in Logan Square here in Chicago, and in the lounge of the theater, and it was canceled. So I applied to that, and I actually can still see it. If you Google Social Distancing Festival Canada, you can see it now. And also, it was at the Adelaide Fringe View. Yes, out of Adelaide, Australia. So yay! That was a thrill. So yes, the international opportunities are fantastic. And I just have taken this time that I have to start really putting myself out there. And my goal is to have at least 1,000 submissions by the end of the year. So I will. Right now I'm at 673. And, you know, as a result, Punk Grandpa's been published again. And then now I have a couple other plays that are in the process of being published. I've signed the contracts and they're just putting it together to go onto the website. One of them is a new company called Stage Right, WRITE Plays, out of Australia. And they're publishing Bossy, about some of my experiences teaching theater and also about my uniquely loving grandma. Yes, wife of Punk Grandpa. And then my play Heart of Fairy is being published by Smith Scripps out of the UK. So
that's pretty amazing. I know you were working on a documentary on fairies. How has that, is that on pause now because there's no fairy festivals or?
That's true. Yes, I did attend the oldest fairy festival in this country at Spoutwood Farms, actually just an hour away from where Uncle Fun is now. Mm. In his sideshow store at the National Museum for Outsider Art, the American Visionary Art Museum for Untrained Artists.
Hi, Ted.
Hi, Ted. We love you.
We love you.
Yes. So I started working on that. And now, actually, we've been able to film on Zoom for another documentary I'm working on with Chris Churchill. It's about the now defunct Chicago Trolley and Double Decker Bus Company. We were both tour guides for. I was there for a couple seasons. And so we've been able to go on Google Earth and do a virtual tour and film what we did, and he drives us, and he was a driver and tour guide, so we started doing that. So that has worked out! And sometimes we see ourselves on the route, too, because they did have a lot of pictures of the trolleys and the double-decker buses, and even him, we saw Chris on the route the other day as we were going on Google Earth.
Is there anything you've missed during the pandemic that you are anxious to do when it's all over with?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I really especially want to do Punk Grandpa again. You know, I'd love to have someone.
Wasn't it going to be produced in Waukegan? I'm sure that was canceled, right?
You know what? It was produced in Waukegan a couple times. So the original version was produced as part of their New Works Festival, Full Out, in 2015. And then they had me write expand it into a longer version to be long enough to be a part of their season. And that was for a month in 2016. So yes, and then Three Brothers, so generous, they commissioned me to write The Magic of Lady M, an adaptation of Lady Macbeth. And so that was part of their New Works Festival in 2018. Yes. So they were the first people to, Three Brothers was the first theater to produce Punk Grandpa with multiple characters. And then
wow,
the second time.
So what was that like to be in the audience?
It was very surreal. To see somebody else playing me for the first time. And in the second version, the expanded version, the director decided to have an older Laura and a young Laura. So I really thought that was very creative and innovative, and they were spectacular. They did a great job. They just got it. They got my grandpa's humor and his spontaneity, and it just meant so much to me. These people I'd never met before completely got my grandpa's humor and his free-spiritedness.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Have you done any improvisation? I mean, a lot of this is creative, but have you also done improvisation of any kind?
Not really. I took the intensive class over at Second City, and I've taught improv to children and adults. It's like, you know, warm-up exercises. Sure. When I was directing plays with the adults, but I don't do improv. No, I'm not good at that. Thanks for asking. A lot of people go there, right, with theater. Oh, are you improv? Yeah. No, I so respect those that do. Oh, my gosh.
Do you miss working with kids? Because you did that for quite a while.
Yeah.
Laura has an incredible talent of bringing out the kid in all of us, though.
Thank you. I will get to work with the kids up in Door County, Wisconsin next fall. I just got a writing residency with them. It's called Write On Door County. And so I'll get to be there for a week and work on my play I'm writing right now about kids. So I am a playwright in residence at Three Cat Productions this year, and I proposed a play about Jane Addams and the impact of childhood upon her career and her work with children at the Hull House in Chicago. And you may know she opened, her and her volunteers built the first playground here in Chicago, and the kids were already inside behind the fence. They were hiding on opening day when they opened the gate. The kids were already there because they were so excited. They didn't wait. They found a way in on their own. And she was the first woman garbage collector in Chicago. And she fought for the rights of children with the first juvenile courts and child labor laws. So she did all kinds of things. There's so many things you could do, you could write about her, but I chose to focus on the children. So, yes.
It's time to celebrate Jane Addams for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was going to be next year, produced next year as part of the season. But tentatively right now it's in 2022 due to COVID naturally. So yeah.
I have a sort of odd question. So when you do, like when you did the Frigid in New York, Fringe, is that like a Fringe Fest too?
It is a winter Fringe Festival. Yes.
So are there any leads for you that ever come out of doing that? Like, was there something wonderful that happened after that? Because your reviews after being in New York were just completely stellar.
Thank you.
They were, I mean, incredible reviews after your New York show.
So much. Well, while I was there, I did get that first publishing offer with Chicago Drama Works when it was published for the first time. And it won a couple of awards. It got the Sold Out Award and the Hangover Award. So we got an extra performance because it was one of the top selling shows in the venue. And I definitely value the connections I made with the actors that were in the show. I would love to work with them all again. Grandpa, the man who played my grandpa, even uncannily looks a lot like my grandpa. So I've stayed in touch with them. And I hope to work with all of them again. And other than that, no, honestly. I mean, no, I know. Now, we were given 50 media outlets to you know, invite to the show and to advertise and send out the press releases. And we did, as a result, invite Ken Davenport, a Broadway producer. And we did get to interview him on our podcast. My husband and I used to have a podcast called Are You Famous Yet? Because, you know, a lot of people ask, are you famous yet? You know, why aren't you famous yet? You know, and so he graciously agreed to be on it. I'd never met him. You know, I'd invite him to come to the show. He wasn't able to come, but he was, you know, one of those people that would say yes to an unknown like me. And I will always remember that. So I am in his Theater Maker studio right now online. They have lots of speakers. And because of him, I got to recently meet with another Broadway producer and talk about Punk Grandpa. So,
yay.
True. Yeah. Hey, Laura, what do you like to do outside of theater? I mean, you know, besides, you know, doing all the things you're doing and playwriting and a one-woman show and everything. But what do you else do just for fun or everything? Let's say under normal circumstances, not under the pandemic.
It sounds a lot like what she does, what she does, everything she's talked about.
Yeah, I'd say theater's my favorite, but I also really do love nature. I love hiking and spending time with my nieces. We moved to Logan Square to be just less than a block away from them. Emily and Juniper, they're 3 and 5. And I have them over to, you know, fairy and pirate themed days and make fairy.
They're so lucky. They're so lucky.
Thanks. I'm so lucky. And my sister had a baby in the midst of all this too. He's 4 months old now, Arthur. So now we have 3.
Yay, more fun.
Yeah.
I know. My daughter just had her son, so he's like 2.5 months old. So it's a fun time. So, but we have to go. Yeah. The problem is we go over and we're still masked up, so he never can see our full face. I said, I'm going to get one of those clear masks, so, because part of my expression is my full face. So what do you have on tap for the future? I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but anything that you want to do that you haven't done so far?
Yes, I still have the Fairy Festival documentary, and I'm excited about the Chicago Trolley. Sorry, I already mentioned that.
Like, what would be your dream person to work with? Who do you want to contact you?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, Weird Al Yankovic. If I could be a backup dancer for him, oh, I would be so ecstatic. He's one of my heroes, for sure. My favorites.
Okay, yeah. You hear that now. Let's make her dream come true.
Yeah, have him tune into our show, Art in the Air. Maybe he'll hear that and we'll do it.
Yeah.
What do you miss doing with pandemic? Like going out to eat? Or what are the things you're actually missing that you'd love to do? Just personally, not so much professionally.
Thrift shopping, definitely. It's one of my favorite things to do. Yes. That'd be the main thing, that and seeing live shows.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell us about a little bit about what, how to get in touch with you, your website, if you have a Facebook presence, anything like that.
Thank you. Yes, my website is lauraforcescruggs.com. lauraforcescruggs.com. And then UncleFunYou'reTheOne.com. And punkgrandpa.com. And so you can find me all those places. I am on Facebook, Laura Scruggs. Uncle Fun, You're the One on Instagram.
Are you collaborating with anyone right now via Zoom? Is that still going on?
With Chris Churchill working on the Trolley documentary. Mm-hmm. And I do meet with Jason Paul Smith, the artistic director of Three Cat, once a month. We have resident playwrights for this year. We meet with him and talk. And I'm actually having a meeting with him today. Talk more about Jane Addams' play. Yeah. And I do have another small group of playwrights we meet monthly or more to read each other's writings and give feedback. Yeah.
So how often do you, what is your day like then? Like, how much time, does writing just come spontaneously, or do you set aside a certain amount of time to work on your projects?
I aim to write every day. It doesn't always happen. I've been spending a lot of time submitting right now, you know, to publications and residencies and awards and for production for someday to be produced.
That takes a lot of time.
It's a dream. So, yeah, I've been focusing on that.
Laura, do you ever want to just be in a production that somebody else has scripted? Is there a dream role that you'd like to play?
I still want to be Annie. I know I'm too old.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know I'm too old, but it's still a dream. Even though I haven't been acting for a while, I just kind of desire kind of went away. But I've been writing more. Haven't performed Punk Grandpa since 2015. But
I don't know. That sounds like something like that you could make happen.
Thanks. I don't know. I think it's I'm not putting myself down, but I think it's really great to see someone else play me because they're objective and they can find more universal themes and humor. So.
Well, we just got about a minute left. So tell us about anything you're looking forward to doing coming up, everything, because we just have about a minute to wrap up here.
Okay. Well, I'm just excited, as I'm very inspired by Jacob M. Appel, who has had 21,000 rejections, but 15 books published, 12 plays done a couple times each, and over 200 short stories published. So I'm just going to keep submitting until I die. I will never give up. Like my grandpa would say, it's always a matter of just contacting more people.
That's true. You go, girl. Well, we appreciate you being on Art in the Air. That was Laura Force Scrubs, published and produced, playwright, performer herself, Punk Grandpa. You can see and you can see on her websites. Give those websites one more time real quick.
LauraForceScrubs.com, UncleFunYou'reTheOne.com, and PunkGrandpa.com. And go to Play Scripts online if you want to buy Punk Grandpa scripts and or do the show.
Very and Weird Al, contact her.
Please.
And so that was Laura Force Scrubs for an Art on the Air. Thanks so much for being on Art on the Air. We really appreciate you being on this segment.
Thank you so much.
And we'd like to thank our guests today for being on Art on the Air, which is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president, radio operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Also, Mary Levan is our art patron supporter. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. See you right here next week, 103.1 FM and 89.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know. I'm Larry, Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.